Greetings, Guardian. Welcome to the sixth episode of Guardians of Destiny, a podcast devoted to the new shared world shooter by Bungie. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. Nikki joins me on the show today. She's past level 20 now, and we'll talk about what we've been up to in the game. Welcome back to the show, listener, and welcome back to the podcast, Nikki.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. I was afraid the lynch mob was going to come after me because I told people you were going to be on last week and then you weren't, but I'm still alive. And so Nikki's here this week.
Aw, thank you.
So Nikki, you have recently achieved level 20 in the game, correct?
Yes, I'm now level 22. And I'm pretty close to 23. And that all happened really quickly, from 20 to almost 23. It happened with maybe three pieces of gear.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. I got to level 20 and then I don't know, I think I did a strike or something and I got like two pieces of gear and I was like, boom, level 22 or 23, like right away.
Wow. That's a little alarming how fast that happens. But at the same time, it took me a while to get those three items for the jump. So I don't know.
Well, believe me, it slows down.
Okay.
So don't worry. So what have you been doing in the game since you've been on the show last?
Well, every time I hop in game, I always do patrols. And I think they keep you in those lower level zones like Earth by kind of only having 20 official levels. And I enjoy that because the first few levels, I feel like I didn't actually get to experience as much of Earth and Venus as I wanted to. And I just got to Mars. So I don't think I even finished the story missions yet.
No, we have, I think, one more story mission. I'm glad you brought that up because that's something I actually wanted to talk about today. Now, we played Rift a lot. And Rift was kind of innovative, I think, because they came up with a system where you could go and do quests and do activities in lower level zones with your high level character, and the game would scale your character so that that content would still be challenging and you'd still get rewards and things like that.
Right.
This game, I don't know, it seems different because I've been going to like the moon a lot for various reasons.
Okay.
And here I am. I'm level 25 now,
I think. Wow, look at you.
Yeah, I'm level 25 and I'm on the moon or I'm on Earth, you know, doing bounties. Mm-hmm. And I'm shooting guys that are like level 8. You know,
yeah.
So the NPCs definitely aren't scaling to match what I'm doing, which makes sense because this is an open world and they can't scale it differently for every person that's there.
Right.
But I don't know if we are being scaled. Like if I go to the moon and do a patrol as level 25, is the game scaling me down so that I'm still challenged? Or am I running around level 25 just totally overpowered? I don't know.
I don't have an official answer for you, but I can tell you what it feels like to me, which is that it's not scaling me. It's much easier for me to kill a level 8 than to kill a level 18.
I have the same experience, but the thing that I do think is interesting, and I'm curious how they manage this, is even though, you know, I can just mow down level 8 guys like nothing,
yeah.
If I just stand there and let them shoot me, like they'll still kill me.
Right. Yeah.
Which in a game like Rift, if I was level, I don't know what it was, like 60 or whatever, and I go into a level 10 zone, it would take them a while to kill me if they ever could.
If they ever could. That would be pretty hilarious to watch, though. Yeah, so I've been doing patrols, and that's really fun. I also decided, because the Queen's Wrath event is over, I decided to look at the new event because I don't know if you've been in there recently, but a new event started and it's actually called, I have the name in front of me, the Iron Banner Tournament. And I discovered it's pretty Crucible focused. I thought at first that would be bad news because I haven't done any PvP yet in the entire game.
Okay.
Except beta. I did a little PvP in beta because I felt like I had to experience it because it was part of the game. So I decided, all right, I'll hop in there and I'll see what PvP is about. I'm not going to participate in Iron Banner right away because, you know, I'm a total PvP noob in Destiny. But I did some PvP, just the control zones, and I loved it. It was so much fun. You have to get in there and try it.
Okay.
Have you done any Iron Banner stuff or PvP stuff yet?
No, I haven't. I played Monday, but the Queen's Wrath was still going on because that was the 6th. That was the last day of the Queen's Wrath. So no, I didn't play yesterday, which was the first day of, what is it, Iron Banner?
Yep, Iron Banner Tournament.
I didn't even realize that was an event. I saw things about it on the app and online.
Okay.
And everything I saw was about PvP. So I thought it was just some, you know how in Rift, how they would have like the weekend Warfront where they would have like a special version of a PvP map just for the weekend. I thought it was something like that. I didn't realize it was a full event.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if event is the official term for it, but that's what I would call it because there's a new vendor for the Iron Banner selling new items and armor and stuff like that and shaders. So I kind of look at it as a new event. And
sounds like it.
Yeah. And I was so sad because I never got anything from the Queen's Wrath. I guess I didn't play enough or something like that. But now I'm wondering if my rep that I got with the Queen will carry over if we ever see the Queen's representative again in town. If there's ever another Queen's Wrath type event, maybe my rep will carry over. But I don't think I even got level 1 with the Queen.
It took way too much rep to get anywhere with her, considering how limited of time it was. I mean, I don't play every single day, but I play more days than I don't in a week. And I would do, I didn't do the PvP bounties, but I would do all of her bounties every day I played. Mm-hmm. And I got to level 1 and just barely passed level 1 in all that time. And it seemed like if you even wanted to get to level 2, that you had to basically be playing every day and doing every bounty every day.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And then all you get for it is like a couple shaders and some, I mean, it's really worthless stuff, really. I mean, she had some weapons that she sold, but they nerfed them.
Oh, man.
Because when the vendor first showed up, I checked out her weapons and they were legendary. They were purple. And I was like, oh, wow, I might try to get those. And then they nerfed them down to blue.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. So I don't know what's up with that. I was actually, I think it was the last episode, I was wondering about this because, you know, we've played MMOs before that have events. And we've played, like, for instance, WoW has the same dumb events every single year. Like, they had, what, like the Fire Festival or something?
Yeah.
And every year, it's like the same thing, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you had games like Rift, where they had events at the same time every year, but every year they were different. So I don't know what Bungie's going to do with Destiny. I'm curious, you know, next year at this time, will we see the Queen's Wrath again?
Yeah.
And if we do, then I would assume that your rep would carry over.
Okay.
But then what they'll probably do is they'll add a couple more levels of rep.
Right.
And,
okay.
And they'll have like probably the stuff from this year that you can still get. But then the new stuff will take like rep 4 or rep 5.
Okay.
Or will they have a completely new event with completely new, you know, characters and everything? If I had to guess, I think they'll have the same events just because of the limited nature of consoles. I think it's a lot more work for them to come up with completely new stuff than it is on a PC MMO.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we will see the Queen next year, and I think your rep will carry over, but I bet money that there's higher levels of rep that will take even more insane amounts of gameplay to get to. So have fun with that.
Yeah, right. And I'm a little worried with the Iron Banner for the same reason. It goes for like a week, I think. Let me see, from the 7th to the 14th of October.
Okay. It's not very long.
No, it's really not. And I have to have marks, Crucible marks, and I have to have Iron Banner rep in order to get items. And so far, the vendor, the new vendor, only has purple items. So that's neat. And you know me, I kind of like my shaders and things that don't matter that much to my actual gameplay, but they're fun. So I kind of want the shaders, and I only need level one for that, so I might do that. But yeah, I played in the Crucible 5 times, just control, and I didn't get any drops, which was a little sad. Actually, I played 4 times, but either way, I did very poorly.
Well, I think the shaders would matter if they were actually different. But I actually got the first shader you could get from the Queen, and it was almost exactly the same as a shader I already had.
Oh.
It was like there's like, what, 3 colors in the scheme, and like one of the colors was different. And other than that, it was exactly the same. So I would literally change from my old shader to my new shader, and the only thing that changed was like the color of my collar. And it's like, I mean, come on, you know, if you're going to have this like hard to get thing, at least make it a new palette of colors, you know, a different scheme, not just the same colors in a different order. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I hear ya. So what did you do recently, Lex?
Was that everything? Did you get through all your stuff?
Yeah, I mean, play PvP. It is so much fun. I think I like died a million times, but when you do kill somebody, it feels so good. Oh, and I have a personal vendetta against hunters. They are awesome in PvP because you don't even see them coming and then they stab you in the back.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It's like rogues in every MMO I've ever played were always the best in PvP.
Really?
And hunters are basically the rogues, right?
Yep, totally.
I have not PvP'd in this game yet, mainly because in other games I played, I find PvP really boring and frustrating.
Yeah.
It's either frustrating or it's boring. It's usually not both at the same time, though sometimes it is.
Okay.
And I don't know. I've heard from what I've seen online, I've heard people saying that the PvP is very unbalanced. But people say that in every game, so it doesn't necessarily mean that it is. It just means that maybe that person sucks at PvP and they're mad and they think it's unbalanced because they don't know what they're doing. So I don't know, but I have played in games where the PvP was unbalanced, and that is very frustrating because you go in as a new, not necessarily a new character, but someone who hasn't PvP'd, and maybe, well, I guess there's not PvP gear in this game. But you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And you just get mowed over and over and over again. And it's no fun.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that in this game. I actually had a lot of fun playing Team Fortress 2, which I don't know if you ever played that. But I'm going to get slack for this. But I had as much fun in doing PvP in Destiny that I did doing PvP in Team Fortress 2. Like, it's just silly fun, and you just run around and blow people up, and yeah, you get killed, but it just makes me more excited to get out there in the field and try again.
Yeah, and the other thing was that I get bored in PvP.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like, you know, rinse and repeat over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, I'm really curious then to see what you think.
Well, I think this will be better because, you know, again, I don't have a lot of experience with first-person shooters, so my PvP experience is in MMOs where there is very little skill involved as compared to a first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. So I think that might make it more interesting and might also make it less frustrating if, you know, a headshot's a headshot, right? Because I have seen that if you're in one of the matches where the level advantages are disabled, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what your gun is or what. If you shoot someone in the head, you're going to kill them. So it's much more normalized as far as your gear and more focused on skill, which I think will make it more fun. But I'll definitely have to try it. It's on my list of things to do, but I don't know. I've just had such bad experiences with PvP and other games. I just keep putting it off.
Oh, well, I'll go with you.
So I did something that I'm really glad I did, and I'm really glad I didn't listen to people who didn't know what they were talking about.
Oh!
As soon as I saw the announcement that there was going to be a patch that was going to fix the Cryptarch, so that when you turn in a purple engram, you actually get a purple item, and when you turn in a blue engram, you get a blue item or better.
Right.
I was like, well, I'm saving all my engrams until after the patch.
Ah.
Because that would be really stupid. I'm getting all these blue engrams and turn them in and get green items when I just wait a week and I'll get my blue items. And I had more than one person tell me after the patch, you know, those will stay what they are and you're going to get what you would have gotten anyway. It only changes things after the patch. And I read the patch notes or the preview, you know, when they told you about the patch, and it said that for the legendary items, it said legendary engrams will still be what they would have been. It didn't say anything about the blue items, the rare items. And so I was like, you know, reading comprehension is a dying art, I have to say.
Yes.
It's so rare to find people that can actually read something and correctly comprehend it. But that's a tale for another day. But so I was like, well, I'm going to save them because worse comes to worse and I get green items anyway. And it doesn't matter because I wouldn't use those items anyway. So I saved them and I had like 15 blue engrams saved up. And as soon as the patch dropped, I gleefully went to the Cryptarch and started turning in all my engrams.
Yeah.
Not only did they all give me blue items or better, I didn't get one green item, but one of them gave me a purple.
What? That's awesome.
I got a legendary auto rifle from a blue engram.
Oh, cool.
And so that was my first legendary item. I also got enough upgrades. I think I got 2 upgrades from all those blue engrams that got me up like a light level or 2. That auto rifle, like, I am not a fan of the auto rifle in this game. I used one with my Titan in the beta, and I couldn't get rid of that gun fast enough because they're so, like, not accurate. It's for the person that just, like, someone runs at them and they freak out and they just want to be able to hold down the trigger and hope they hit something. And that's not me, you know?
Okay.
And so I was really bummed when I got a legendary auto rifle because I was like, man, of all the guns in the game, this is the last one I would want. I'd much rather have a hand cannon than an auto rifle.
Okay.
I really was wanting like a scout rifle or maybe even a pulse rifle.
Yeah.
But I got the auto rifle and I'm like, well, it's way better than any of these blues I have. So I'll use it and I'll try it. And it was all right. And now that I've got it pretty much fully upgraded, it's not bad. And we got the strategy book for the game, mainly for the maps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad I got that book because it explains a lot of kind of the strategy of the game and kind of like how your class abilities work together. And it goes into a huge amount of detail on the weapons and how the weapons are designed. And it turns out that the weapons have different archetypes, like pulse rifles. There's like, I don't know, 5 or 6 different archetypes. And any pulse rifle you find will fit into one of those archetypes. Like there's balanced, where it's, you know, it's pretty much balanced. Or there's one that's more towards, it can shoot really fast, but it's not as accurate. Or one that doesn't shoot as fast, but it's more accurate. And it turns out that the legendary auto rifle I got is actually the precise archetype.
Oh.
Which, if I was going to have to use an auto rifle, that is the archetype I would want because it doesn't shoot as fast, but it's more accurate and it has more range.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I still think as soon as I get a legendary pulse rifle or scout rifle or hand cannon, I will be replacing it with that.
Okay.
But for now, I mean, it's super powerful and it's fun, but it isn't terribly accurate, even with it fully upgraded.
Aw, okay.
So I've done all the upgrades on that, except for the very last one, which is the last damage increase.
Mm-hmm.
But for that, I need like 16 weapon pieces.
Okay.
And so I'm saving those up. And as I said, I'm now level 25. I also, in this last week, I got my first piece of Vanguard gear. So that was my second legendary item. I got the chest armor from Zoe.
Me too. Congratulations.
Yeah, the Warlock Vanguard trainer. And I've been upgrading that. And I got all of the upgrades except the last two, which those two I need way too many ascended shards for.
Oh, wow. And
those things are not easy to get.
Yeah.
This armor also, and this brings us back to our thing about the low-level zones. This armor has me farming helium for the upgrades.
Okay.
I'll just give this tip now. I have a noob tip for you. If you are, you know, approaching level 20 or you're at post-level 20, but you haven't gotten a legendary item yet, and you're thinking about getting you know, a Vanguard item or a Crucible item, go look at the upgrades for that item and see what mats you need for it, because you will need something like helium or spin metal or relic iron or one of those mats you get on one of the planets, and find out what you're going to need and save those. Because I had literally, just before I got that armor, I had turned in 50 helium to the Vanguard for Vanguard rep. Yeah. And now I have to go to the moon and farm helium right. because I don't have any helium to upgrade my armor. And it takes like 16 of them for each upgrade.
Oh, wow. And so that's 16 times you have to find helium on the planet then?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, look and see what you're going to be getting. Look and see what mats you're going to need, and save up ahead of time. And then you can upgrade a lot faster. And I did find that with your armor, when you upgrade the defense, mm-hmm. it does raise the light of the armor.
Oh, okay.
So you will be able to possibly even level just by doing upgrades of items you already have.
That's cool.
I also got my first exotic bounty.
Oh, wow.
And I chose very carefully. And this is my other noob tip for today. When you get offered an exotic bounty, you'll have like three of them to choose from.
Okay.
You want to just step back and go to a website. I will link a guide in the show notes to the exotic bounties, because each one of those, if you finish it, and it's not just one thing, it's like a quest chain that you have to do. And if you finish that, you will get a very specific exotic weapon. And so you want to go look at the three that you're offered and go look and see what weapons they offer and pick the one for the weapon that you want, because you don't want to go through all that and then get a weapon that isn't, like, if you don't like hand cannons, you don't want to grab the one that gives you a hand cannon at the end.
Right.
So I got the one, I forget what it's called, but you end up getting a pulse rifle called Bad Juju.
Love it.
And I like pulse rifles. I think once I get like more advanced in the game, I will probably graduate to a scout rifle and then eventually a hand cannon. Mm-hmm. But for now, where I'm at right now, like, pulse rifle is kind of the sweet spot between rate of fire and accuracy and all that stuff.
Okay.
And I think that the Bad Juju is one of the pulse rifles where the pulse rifle shoots a 3-round burst. And if one of those shots misses, it shoots a 4th round.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
The Bad Juju may not have that, I'm not sure, but it does have a thing where every time you get a kill, it puts more ammo in your clip. So theoretically, if you're shooting well, you could never have to reload, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that would be so great.
So that's my tip. When you get exotic bounties offered, you know, go do your homework, go online, go to the guide and pick which one you want to do. Because they're really involved. And for instance, mine, the first thing I have to do is I have to do a heroic strike, which I haven't done yet. So that should be interesting. And then after I do that, I have to do 25 strikes.
Oh my God.
And then there's something after that. I forget what the third thing is. And then I think the fourth thing is I have to get 10,000 points in PvP. And it's not, I looked it up. It's not the regular, like, way that you get points in PvP. You basically get, I think it's like 25 points per person you kill, and then you get like 75 points per warlock.
Oh.
And you don't get a penalty for dying, but I mean, 25 points a shot, it's going to take a while to get to 10,000. That's a lot of kills.
Yeah, definitely. And a noob question, you said that you get more points if you kill a warlock. Is that because your class is warlock?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. You're like hunting your own kind for some reason. So yeah, so I have to do a heroic strike now. So that should be interesting. I may sometime in the near future have enough strange coins to get an exotic item. But who knows? It's so random how you get strange coins. It's kind of, you know, maybe you'll get one, maybe you won't. I think the only way that you're guaranteed to get strange coins is if you do a weekly heroic strike. I think you get three of them if you complete that.
I didn't know that.
And that's something I'm wondering. The weekly heroic, does that mean I can only do that once a week, or does it just only change once a week?
I assumed it only changed once a week.
Well, I know in MMOs they have weekly things that you can only do once a week. So
true.
I don't know.
Okay.
I have to find out.
Yeah.
And I may have enough motes of light to get my first exotic engram this week or next week, which should be interesting to see what I get from that. And although at this point you are guaranteed to get an exotic item from that, I don't think you're guaranteed to get an item for your class. So Bungie has this kind of underhanded way of trying to get you to play alts by giving you really awesome items that aren't for your class, which is kind of annoying. And then we did our first heroic daily quest this week, and we had the juggler modification on that, and so that actually wasn't too bad. I expected it to be harder than it was. The only thing that was really challenging was I forgot about the juggler thing, even though I explained to you going in like what juggler was, then I forgot about it, and about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through the thing, I ran out of my primary ammo.
Oh, man.
So that was fun. I just started switching weapons and I got it back. So
yeah,
that was interesting. So yeah, if you don't know, the juggler, basically the way that works is whatever weapon you're using, there won't be any ammo drops for that weapon. So if you're using your primary weapon, you'll only see green and purple ammo drops.
Yeah.
So you have to basically occasionally change weapons so that you can keep all of your ammo full, so that, you know, at any given time you can use the weapon that you need to use.
Yep. And that was the Sword of Crota, right, that we did?
Yes, I think so.
That was really fun.
All right, so that's what we've been up to. I think the other thing, I might not have mentioned this, is in addition to saving up those mats for upgrades of your armor, like the helium or the spin metal or whatever you're going to need for your armor, you also, once you get past level 20, up to that point, you basically are just spending glimmer to upgrade weapons. And if you're like me, you're probably upgrading every weapon you have, like all the way every time.
Yeah.
But once you get beyond level 20, you want to be careful about that, because you now need things like the weapon parts. And especially with the legendary items, I think it takes like 16 weapon parts to do an upgrade. So you go through them really fast. I know if you're like me, you get to level 20 and you've got like a couple hundred of those things and you're like, oh, I'll never run out.
Yep.
But once you get a legendary item, you go through them really fast. So once you get to level 20 and you start getting your complement of level 20 blue weapons, be really choosy about what ones you upgrade, and don't just go upgrading everything willy-nilly, because you might regret it if you get that cool legendary and you can't upgrade it because you don't have any weapon parts.
Yeah,
you don't
that's
have
a good
enough.
Tip. Good tip.
I actually have found myself breaking down weapons that I kind of wanted to keep just to get weapon parts so I could upgrade my main weapon.
Oh, so. Wow.
There's one other thing I wanted to talk about today, and that's basically, what's the deal with the factions? Like, I don't get it. And now, I talked about last episode, and I have to make a retraction, because last episode, I was talking about how the game forces you to PvP because you need Crucible Marks to be able to get any gear from the three factions, the Dead Orbit, the Future War Cult, or the New Monarchy.
Yeah.
And I was assuming that those gear sets were upgrades to what you get from the Vanguard, because that's how it would work in an MMO.
Right.
But it turns out I got my legendary chess piece, and I went to the different factions and was comparing their chess piece to the one I had.
Okay.
And they're not any better at all. In fact, they were worse.
Wow.
Than the one I got from the Vanguard. And I know I've upgraded it. I'm not counting the upgrades. I mean, they're just the discipline and the intelligence and stuff that they give you.
Okay.
And the light wasn't as good, or it was the same. The only difference between the items you get from the Vanguard versus the Crucible versus Dead Orbit versus Future War Cult versus New Monarchy is what weapons they give you bonuses with. As far as the itemization, it's roughly the same. And I don't get it. It's like, what the hell? It's like, There's no progression there. It's like, yeah. Why do we have five factions that we can get endgame armor from, but they're all about the same power level?
Right.
It's like, what motivation is there for me to grind rep with anything other than the Vanguard? I'm not a fan of auto rifles, and I was a little peeved because I like pulse rifles, and there weren't any, if I remember right, there weren't any items from the Vanguard that gave me bonuses to discipline and intelligence, which are the stats I want to stack,
okay.
And gave me bonuses with pulse rifle. They all gave me bonuses with like auto rifle or hand cannon or something like that. But then I got a legendary auto rifle, and it actually worked out because they're all giving me bonuses with auto rifle, which worked out. And I think if I was in that position and I was like, okay, if I want to use a pulse rifle, I basically have to grind rep with the Dead Orbit, and I have to do a shit ton of PvP because they only take Crucible marks. They don't take Vanguard marks.
Right.
Or I could just use a different weapon and use this armor that I can get from the Vanguard. I think I would just use a different weapon.
Right.
I mean, the grind involved in getting faction with these guys is ridiculous. And the grind involved in getting enough Crucible marks to buy just one piece of gear, much rather a whole set, is ridiculous.
Like, oh, wow.
I'd love to see some data on how many people, like what percentage of players are actually grinding rep with these factions and which ones they're getting rep with and everything. Because I don't see where the motivation is to go through that, unless you're someone where like PvP is your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are people that just like, kind of like me, I just PvE in the game. I'm sure there are people that just PvP.
Yeah.
And for them, it's kind of nice because it's like, well, you've got four factions to choose from. And that's the other thing, this unbalance between PvE and PvP. You've got one faction that you can spend Vanguard marks with, and you've got four that you can spend Crucible marks with. So even though the game isn't forcing you quite as much as I thought it was the PvP, it still kind of is. Because, you know, if you're going to PvE, you have really no choice. You have two items to choose from for each armor slot.
Yeah.
And that's it. If you want to have some choice in what armor you get, you're going to have to PvP. There's just no way around it.
Wow.
So I really don't get this. In MMOs that I've played that have factions, there are very real differences between the factions. And there's real reasons to not only grind rep with one, but to grind rep with all of them. For instance, what a lot of games will do is like, say in Destiny, we have like, you have your helmet and you have your chest armor and you have your gloves and your boots. Well, one faction will have the best helmet for your class, and the other faction will have the best chest item for your class. And it's like a reason, if you really want to min-max your character to the ultimate, to grind rep with all these factions.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if I sit down with a spreadsheet and compare, maybe it really is like that with this game. But if it is, I mean, the differences are really small. So small that when I was comparing my item with the items in the other factions, like, there was no difference that I could see. Definitely not a difference big enough for me to grind two or three levels of rep and grind all those Crucible marks to be able to get that thing.
Yeah, totally. What do you think, maybe the people that do PvP 24/7, they do all, they get rep with all of the factions so that they can have the best of each gun? Or maybe that doesn't matter. Yeah.
But I mean, you can only use one of each type weapon at a time. You can only have one primary weapon, one secondary weapon, and one special weapon equipped.
Right.
And in PvE, it's rough enough to like duck behind cover and switch weapons out. I'm sure it's impossible in PvP, where like everything's down to a fraction of a second. So, I mean, maybe from match to match, you could switch items and switch your weapons and switch your armor. But in a given match, I think you're kind of stuck with what you have.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, when you respawn, do you respawn someplace safe where you could switch out items?
Yes, but even there, as it is in MMOs, the other team will creep up on you and they can attack you at your little safe base.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. So yeah, a little retraction on what I said last week. You know, you don't have to grind Crucible marks to get good endgame gear. You can just PvE and get the Vanguard stuff.
Yeah.
But you are going to be a little bit more limited in choices. But if you're willing to be flexible with your weapons that you use and match them to the armor that you have, it doesn't matter because PvP stuff isn't any better.
Okay.
And another thing is there's no PvP stat in this game. Like in Rift, we had, what was it? Vengeance and Resilience or something like that. Like you had one stat that decreased the damage you took in PvP and you had another stat that increased the damage you did in PvP. And so in games like, well, pretty much every MMO I've played was like this. You if you wore PvE gear into a PvP match, you would just get annihilated.
Oh, yeah.
You had to grind a separate set of gear for PvP.
Yep.
Now, this game, you might have that because, like, for instance, as a warlock, maybe I want to focus more on strength in PvP as opposed to discipline because my melee attack is more important than my grenade, which I don't think so. I think warlock grenades are pretty awesome in PvP from what I've read.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's no like PvP stat that doesn't exist in PvE. Yep. So it's weird. I don't know.
It is bizarre. Maybe our listeners have some answers.
And maybe this is a first person shooter thing because I haven't really played first person shooters. So maybe this is normal in a first person shooter to have all these different gear sets that are basically the same, only slightly different. And you have to grind rep to get them all. I don't know. That a first-person shooter thing?
Well, it didn't feel like that in the first-person shooters that I've played, but I haven't played that many, so.
Well, and I've gotten the impression from people in the community that this whole idea of reputation is new to first-person shooter players. They're like, what's up with this? So it seems like that comes from MMOs, but they're not doing it the way the MMOs do.
Right.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up the sixth episode of Guardians of Destiny. Nikki, thanks again for coming back.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to reach me, you can email me at lexstarwalker@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at lexstarwalker. Nikki, where are you at on Twitter?
You can find me at Nikki Starwalker.
And please visit our website, starwalkerstudios.com/Guardians of Destiny. If you enjoy the show and you'd like to support it, please leave a review or rating on iTunes or wherever you get the podcast. We'd really appreciate it. So that's it for me and Nikki. Enjoy the game, Guardian.
So long.